When we go to the cinema, or when we look at television, we are suffering from static inertia, and without static inertia we should not be able to see the intermittent flickering pictures of the cinematograph film or of television. In the eyes, this static inertia could be termed residual ocular memory. A person who is lazy or sluggish is a tamasic person. Tanmatras, this is equally 5 fundamental principles which correspond to the senses of touch, sight, hearing, taste, and smell, which we have with us while we are in the conscious state and which correspond to air, fire, earth, ether, and water. Tantras, Tantri, applies to any of the writings or scriptures connected with the worship of Shakti. The purpose of tantras are to give one a philosophy or discipline which enables us, through their correct practice, to obtain liberation from ignorance, liberation from rebirth through direct knowledge. Tao, in the days before the communists upset the human values, Tao was the way, the principle, the truth. Tao is that which shows us how to proceed, shows us the path which we must follow. It teaches us, in essence, to take the middle way. Tapas, this is something which the aspirant yogi has to do every day. It is a form of body conditioning. One has to do certain breathing exercises, one has to have certain mental disciplines. Discipline makes the difference between a proud army and a rabble. Discipline makes the difference between a genuine yogi and a genuine fake. Some people are not able to discriminate between truth and fiction. The latter go in for all sorts of absurd exercises, far beyond anything that is necessary or desirable, and they spend so much time flinging their arms and legs about, and getting in weird and unnatural positions, that they have no time or energy left for spiritual development. Dara, I must put in this word as a tribute to Ireland. Ireland has ballads about the halls of Dara, wonderful songs relating to history of long bygone days. In the metaphysical world, Dara means the savior, but in this case the savior is the divine mother who was the consort of Sheba. Tarika, this is actually a center between and in front of the eyebrows, and if a pupil is meditating correctly he or she will be able to see, or sense, a light in front of and between the eyebrows. Tarot, this is a pack of cards, 78 cards in all, and the Akashic record says that these cards contain the knowledge of the Book of Thoth. The cards contain, for those who can read them all the knowledge of past history, but nowadays they are also used for divination. Tarot cards are shuffled, and one subconscious magnetizes certain cards in much the same way as a piece of ebony, when rubbed, can attract a piece of tissue paper, or in the same way as a piece of magnet can attract a piece of iron. The subconscious, which is 9/10 of us, exerts a magnetic influence through the etheric, and so certain cards are subconsciously selected. Tarot cards, in the hands of a genuine person, are genuine, and they are quite infallible. Tatwamasi, in a lamasery the students have to meditate on that, which, of course, is the over-self, and they have to be able to distinguish that from this, the latter of which is the manifestation. When the students are able to distinguish between that and this they are able to say with truth Tatwamasi, which means that, you are. T, a Chinese word relating to virtue. Virtue, of course, has to be moral, but T also relates to power in all senses of the word. You can have power for good and power for bad, but T most often refers to virtue and power used for good. Telepathy. Telepathy is the art, or science, or ability, whereby we pick up and understand the brain waves of others. Just as a radio station broadcasts a program, so does the human brain, also a form of radio station, broadcast the thoughts of the person to whom the brain is attached. Thought is an electrical impulse, or series of impulses, and thought radiates everywhere just as does the program from a radio station. So any person with training can become telepathic, that is, they can tune into the thoughts of another person, and can also inject one's own thoughts into the receptive areas of another person. Teleportation. This is a little understood science in the Western world. Teleportation is the art of sending a material object by thought to another location. A poltergeist, for example, can pick up a large object such as a chair, and cause it to move violently across a room. In the Far East, suitably trained llamas can cause a heavy, material object to be transported by thought to another location. Gravity, which gives a thing apparent weight, is merely a magnetic attraction between the object and the core of the Earth. Under certain conditions, the magnetic attraction can be lessened, or entirely removed, so that the material object becomes less heavy or actually without weight. This process is adopted when an article is being teleported. It is also a system in use during levitation. Xin Li, this is divine law, the law of heaven, the law of that place to which you go when you leave this world. Xin Ti, this is the origin of life, the universe, everything. It is allness, that which is and which always has been. Touchstone, centuries and centuries ago, when the world was a much wiser place than it is now, before the age of aspirins and various tranquilizing drugs, the priests and wise men had methods of calming a person who was nervous or irritable, or in some way off color. They made tranquilizer touch stones. These very special stones were shaped in a particular manner so that, by gently rubbing them, one could obtain a pleasant tactile impression which soothed a troubled mind, prevented one from having ulcers, and bad temper, and hysteria. You may like to read more about this under stones. Trance. A real trance is the condition when the astral body willingly vacates the physical body in order that the former may witness some occurrence which can be reported back to some person through the silver cord and the physical body. At times, a person of mediumistic capabilities will be willing to have his or her body used by some disincarnate entity who wants to give a message. In such a case, the medium sits in a position of repose, and wills the astral body to depart from the physical body. Then a discarnate entity can catch hold of the silver cord and cause the physical body of the medium to give a necessary message. After the message, or whatever it is finished, the discarnate entity relinquishes the hold, and the astral returns to the physical of the medium. Untrained people should never dabble in trance work, nor in seances, because it can have a very harmful effect upon the health. It is safe under certain conditions, but only under trained supervision. Treta Yuga, as we have said previously in this book, world periods are divided up into different phases. Treta Yuga is the second of four world periods, and this one is of 1,296,000 years. Shriya, this is the fourth state of consciousness. It is not connected with waking, or dreaming, or dreamless sleep. Instead, it is a form of being superconscious. One reaches such a stage when one is correctly meditating, because then one gets beyond thought, beyond wisdom, and into a state which is almost the equivalent of astral consciousness. In the Treta state, one experiences things not of the earth. Tyaga, this is the absolute renunciation of possessions and, what one might term, social activities. One who has given up or renounced all possessions, such as a hermit or a recluse, is known as a Tyagi, a man of renunciation. So, Tyaga is giving up possessions and social activities, and Tyagi is the man who has already given up possessions and social activities. Udana, this is a center which conveys the automatic commands to operate the chest muscles. That is, it is our breath control center. Actually, it is the bluish-white light which emanates from the pharyngeal plexus. The clairvoyant, as just stated, sees this as a bluish-white light. Anmani, this is the stage when we are out of the body, that is, when the astral body is withdrawn from the physical body, such as during astral travel or during a trance, we are said to be in a state of Anmani. Upadana, this is the material from which all things are made. Everything is made from a substance corresponding to the state of the thing which is made. A silver pot is made of silver, a glass window is made of glass, a human is made of flesh and bones, and nothing can change the fact that a human is made of flesh and bones. That is the Upadana. Upadi, this is the ignorance which the over-self imposes upon the human in the flesh. It would be most unsatisfactory if all humans, irrespective of their progress, could remember all their past lives. Those who had been princes would be dissatisfied if they remembered their princely reign when they came back as an impoverished peasant, and the one who had been a peasant would feel a sense of inferiority possibly when reincarnating as a prince. Thus, it is that before a human soul incarnates, he or she drinks of the waters of forgetfulness before awakening to consciousness in the body of a baby. It is a wise provision that those who are incarnating normally forget, while in the flesh, what they have been in the past. Though such knowledge is available to them when they get to the astral world by way of astral travel, and so can consult the Akashic record. Sometimes Upadi is given an S and becomes Upadis, and in that case it refers to the whole man upon the earth and out of the body. It refers to his three bodies, his three basic bodies, which are 1. The causal body. 2. The subtle body. 3. The gross body. Upanayana, when a boy is training to become a monk of the Hindu faith, he takes a sacred thread, a symbolical ceremony during which the boy vows to observe certain virtues, which are 1. Absolute purity. 2. Absolute truthfulness. 3. Absolute self-control and self-restraint. Compared to the Christian belief, it is much the same as being confirmed. Upanishad, these are certain books which constitute the philosophical portion of the Vedas. These sacred scriptures deal with the more mystical matters, and the nature of man and man's over-self. There are 108 Upanishads. 108 is a sacred number in Tibet. The chief ones are 1. Aisha. 6. Mandukya. 2. Kena. 7. Chandogya. 3. Katha. 8. Brihadaranyaka. 4. Brasna. 9. Aitriya. 5. Mundaka. 10. Daitalya. The Upanishads brought to a close each of the four Vedas, and so they had at the end of Vedas the word Anta meaning end, thus becoming Vedanta, which means the end of the Vedas. Upriti, this is for which we must all strive, the end of all personal desires. V. Vdi Bhakti, devotion to one's God, particularly when there is observance of much ritual and ceremony, is known as Vdi Bhakti. It frequently leads to an almost hypnotic state of devotion to one's God. Vamakara, in days of long ago, the priests used wine, women, and song in their rituals. Sometimes in Western religions, particularly in Greece and Rome, such undoubted attractions were used to lure male worshippers to the temples, where they would pay greatly for spiritual and other comforts. In the East, the use of wine, women, and song was for the purpose of teaching the religious follower to obtain freedom from passions. It was intended that he should see the influence of the Holy Mother in all objects and all actions. It was intended that he should see in all women, not merely an object of sexual attraction, but the symbolical representation of the consort of God, the Holy Mother, which is common to all the great religions of the world. In the East, when it was found that such demonstrations aroused the wrong passions, the whole thing was outlawed, possibly to the great regret of certain of the adherents. Vasanas, these are habits, or tendencies. In quite common language, a man smokes a cigarette. The more he smokes a cigarette, the more he wants to smoke other cigarettes, so that in the end he becomes a chain smoker. Just as cigarette smoking should be overcome, so should other undesirable habits or traits which keep one earthbound, earthbound while in the flesh, and earthbound while in the astral. Vasanas are often regarded as desires, but that is an incorrect translation. They are habits which lead one to suppose that one has certain desires, whereas they are merely habits, and can be overcome. Vedanta, as we discussed under Upanishads, Vedanta is merely the end of the Vedas. Upanishads ended each of the four Vedas, thus becoming termed the Vedanta. Vedanta is now loosely termed a philosophy based upon the yoga of knowledge of the Vedas. Vedas, this is the origin of Indian religions. Special books dealing with high mystical functions of the human body and the human over-self. The Vedas are a source of inspiration which was in existence centuries and centuries before the Bible and before the Alcoran. Vichara, various Vedanta schools order that their adherents shall engage in very serious thinking. It is necessary for a person to be able to think of, about, over, and around a subject. It is also taught that thinking is not knowledge. Thinking is one of the drawbacks of the human body, for when knowledge is, thought is not. Videha, during life upon earth, and during life on the astral world, we are normally in a state of growth, we are learning all the time. But we can also withdraw from continual learning so that we can ruminate on the knowledge which we have so far gained. We can stop by the wayside and have a rest from the hardships and difficulties of learning. We can turn over our memories like turning over old things in an attic to see what needs to be kept and what needs to be thrown away. People who are becoming aged often have what is termed a second childhood. They live over past memories, they live in the past more than the present, they can turn back the clock of memory to see again all the incidents of their long life. Videha is sometimes used to indicate devas, who, of course, are humans who have secured liberation from reincarnation. Videha Mukti, this refers to the state during which one is able to secure liberation while out of the body. While out of the body one can move wherever one will at the speed of thought, but it must always be remembered that when one is in the body one is able to attain to experiences which cannot be realized when out of the body. We come to the earth, and to other planets, and incarnate, that is, we come to a flesh body to learn lessons which cannot be learned while in the spirit. Vidya, this merely means knowledge. There is nothing occult, nothing strange about it. It is just another word in another language for our good old common or garden term, knowledge. Vijnana, this is what one gets after years and years of study, which is a very high realization and spiritual appreciation of the God of all, the God who is above the over-self, the God who really is. Vikalpa, this is one of the five kinds of ideas which exist in the lower mind. It is a form of imagination. We can have a thing existing in the mind, and in the mind it can appear to be very real to us. That is vikalpa. Viparyas, these are thoughts which come to one and which one immediately recognizes as false information supplied by the subconscious. As an illustration, let us say that if one were to say that the streets of London were paved with gold, it would immediately be recognized as false information. Virat, this is the Manu who is responsible for this whole universe. While on earth one might say God, but it is not God, God is a different being altogether. Virat is the spirit of the universe. Vishuddha, this is the fifth of the seven commonly recognized yogic centers of the body. It is the lotus at the level of the throat. It is 16 rays with a lilac color edged with red. This particular chakra is connected with the willpower of the human being. Viriti, this is a thought wave in the mind which swirls and swirls around something like a whirlpool, and leaves one in rather a state of turmoil until one does something about it. It is not a direct thought which comes and is gone, but it is instead a thought which persists until some definite action be taken. Vijnana, this is a special source which supplies energy to the whole body. It is connected particularly in the male with the prostate center, and excessive sexual activity depletes the Vijnana. It is because of this that so many masters, who really are not at all, say that no one should have any sexual interests whatever. That, of course, is completely absurd. They might as well say that there is only black and there is only white, and there is no other color whatever. Sex, properly channeled and of a pure type, can send great power for good through the spinal channel, and can energize the highest centers connected with the spirit. Depending upon the development of the person, the color of the Vijnana, which appears at around the prostate area, is from a dull brownish red to a very pale rose. W. Wool gaze, Buddhist monks, when they are meditating, try to sit looking quite blank, they try to have no expression, they try to be completely immobile, and so it is often stated that a monk has a gaze as blank as a wall. Wuxing, this is a Chinese term for what they term the five elements. They are, 1. Earth. 2. Fire. 3. Metal. 4. Water. 5. Wood. Wulan. The Chinese sages believed that there could be five basic relationships, and that all other relationships sprang, or were derived from, the five main branches. The relationships were, 1. Between the king and his subjects. 2. between father and son. 3. Between the husband and the wife. 4. Between brothers. 5. Between friends. X as a letter is not prolific in the world of metaphysical terms, and it is mentioned here merely for the sake of the completeness of our dictionary. The X, however, has great significance in the occult world. It is used in the form of a cross to denote suffering, as we shall see later. It is also used to denote that which is radiating in all directions at once, as opposed to a point, or dot, which is self-contained and is indrawn. The X relates upon the terrestrial plane to all points of the compass, north, east, south, and west, but when used in the esoteric sense it indicates that we have to give in all directions to those who are worthy of our gifts. We must show others that which they desire to be shown, and that which they are ready to learn. We must help them and guide them, but only when it is clear that they are ready for such help and guidance. A decorative and esoteric form of X was known as the swastika, and this must not be confused with the crooked cross of Nazi Germany, which relates to treachery, warfare, and all that which is indecent and impure. The true form of swastika, merely an alteration to the letter X, has its projecting portions going the opposite way to that of the crooked swastika, which is as it should be because the crooked swastika is evil and the true swastika is pure and beneficent. The letter X is often used to mark the spot, and as a form of signing by those who are unable to write. The X is also used in a different form, or different stylization of form, to denote suffering in Christianity as previously stated. In addition, you will no doubt be aware, the X is used as an honorific abbreviation for the word Savior, and then it becomes Xavier, or derivations from that. The honorific form is used because the parents of many people who are christened Xavier feel that it would not be complimentary to use Savior. Thus the X is regarded as a satisfactory and acceptable substitute. There are two symbols which may be of interest. One is the point of light blazing like a star, which can indicate the one within. The other is the symbol which is an X with small projections at the extensions of the arms, which are shown rapidly rotating, and indicates the progress which has to be made. Y, yama, yama is self-control. It indicates that one has abstention from telling lies, abstention from stealing, abstention from greed, and abstention from lustfulness. It is also termed one of the eight limbs of Raja Yoga. It is, in fact, the first of the eight limbs. Yi, the actual meaning of this Chinese word is righteousness. We would all, no doubt, prefer to do many things if there was some profit attached to it, but yi is that which we should do without thought of profit. Yin yang, this is the whole force of the universe. The yin, which is passive and female and negative, and the male, the yang, which is positive and continually assertive. It is ridiculous to say which is the most important, the male or the female. They complement each other, they contrast with each other, they are absolutely dependent upon each other. We cannot have a battery unless one end is negative and the other end is positive. We cannot use a battery which has a positive terminal only, it is an absolute impossibility. Thus, a woman is quite as important as a man, and a man is quite as important as a woman. The battle of the sexes is a ridiculous thing which should be ended by an explanation of the dependence of each upon the other. Yoga, the actual meaning of this word is union, or joining, or yoking together. It is the union, or linking, or joining of an individual soul with the source of all goodness. It is also used, yoga, to indicate various methods by which it is claimed such unions may be effected. It must be made very clear that one can attain to such a state of union without knowing how. Those who pry, and probe and fidget about, trying to obtain proof of that which cannot be proven, are merely delaying their own path. And until they can get a little bit of sense, or a little bit of enlightenment, they will not make much progress. Yogi, a person who practices yoga is usually known as a yogi or yogin, but if it is a female, then the female version of yogin is yogini. Uwu, a state of being and non-being. The state of being in the world, of the world, out of the world, and not of the world. Zed, Zen. This is a particular form of mental stillness. It is not a religion, but a system of living. It is a method of attaining complete release from anything in this, the material world. Zen depends chiefly on stopping the flow of mentality by blankness of expression, blankness of desires, and blankness of thoughts, so that one is then able to experience and develop intuition. Students of Zen meditate a lot, and success is achieved when reasoning is stopped. In connection with this, it is worth mentioning that one of the biggest drawbacks to the human entity is reason. Reason, and particularly faulty reason, prevents one from perceiving the true reality. Humans often scoff at the intellect of animals, claiming that animals do not have reason, and that is correct. Animals have intuition. They have the ability to perceive a thing is so when not even the greatest reason workers of humanity can get the same results. The whole object of certain forms of Eastern study is to suppress, or destroy, or control reason to let the true nature of the over-self show through and profit. But that cannot be done while man is striving and scrabbling in the dirt for a few bits of grubby paper called money which are of use merely upon the earth. Again, man has never yet, and never will succeed in taking even a single penny or a single farthing into the realms of spirit. Supplementa, breathing. Breathing is the most essential of our functions. Without breath we cannot exist, because it takes breath, containing oxygen and other gases, to activate the brain and keep it working. But our manner of breathing is the coarsest way we can possibly use air. We have to know something about breath control before we can go to deal with any form of exercise. Have you heard two people whispering, and you feared that they were whispering about you? What did you do? How did you listen harder? Now think of this carefully. You held your breath, because instinctively, or through experience, you knew that in holding your breath you would somehow be able to hear better. That is so, is it not? Again, suppose you cut yourself, or, if you prefer, imagine you have sustained one of those painful grazes which one can obtain from a fall on rough concrete. What do you do? Think of this carefully. You hold your breath. You find, by instinct, that if you hold your breath there is less shock, there is less pain, but as you cannot go on holding your breath indefinitely you feel pain when you breathe normally. Have you ever watched strong furniture removal men when they are confronted with a heavy object which has to be taken away? What do? They first look very glumly at the object to be lifted, then they dolefully rub their hands together while they take a deep breath. And they hold their breath while they are actually lifting the heavy article off the ground. Instinct, or experience, or whatever you like to call it, has taught these furniture removal men, and in fact anyone who has to lift weights, that if they take a deep breath and hold it, lifting becomes much easier. Does your work necessitate deep thinking? Do you have to ponder upon a matter, work out some form of solution? You do? Then no doubt you will have noticed that as you think more and more deeply your breath becomes slower and slower. An adept who is deeply meditating breathes so slowly, so shallowly, that one has difficulty in knowing if he is breathing at all, and those people who are buried in the earth can suspend their breathing so that one breath might last for several hours. Breath, air, is essential to us. Air contains prana. But prana is not a matter which the student of chemistry can shove into a test tube, or heat in a retort, or look at through a microscope. Prana is a different thing altogether. One might say that it exists in a different dimension, but it is absolutely essential for the maintenance of life because it is the universal energy of everything. It is manifest in everything that we can think of, and yet humans use prana in the coarsest possible way when it is breathed carelessly. Clumsily. Prana stimulates our thoughts. Without adequate prana there can be no thought, without adequate prana there can be no healing, because for the latter prana is quite essential. A healer is a person who can transfer his or her own excess prana to a sufferer. The area of its storage is in the solar plexus. The more prana we have succeeded in storing the more dynamic we are, the more vibrant with life force, the more we make an impact upon others. There is no point in going into details about the 10 nadis, and how prana moves through them. We have dealt with such things and about Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna in the preceding portion of this book. Instead, we want to have some elementary exercises which cannot hurt us, but which can do us a tremendous amount of good. First of all, how do you breathe? There is more than one system, you know. As an illustration, sit comfortably, preferably on a hardback chair. Keep your spine erect and your head facing forward. Relax as much as you can while maintaining that erect posture.